WTAW News Time is 4 minutes after 8. It is 68 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Caliber Realty, formerly BCR Realtors. Learn more at bhhscaliber.com. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Chelsea Reber. Last year, the Bryan Police Department received no complaints of racial profiling, and the City Council heard from its consultant that BPD met the requirements of the Texas racial profiling law.
From my perspective, the police department has been consistent in the sense that they're adhering to the law, first and foremost.
Consultant Alex Del Carmen told three councilmen he could come back and give a district-by-district breakdown of traffic stop searches and arrests. Councilman Prentice Madison was among those also asking Police Chief Eric Buskey.
Where you have more crime areas at, you're most likely to make more stops. Is that correct?
We will have a greater police presence, and that can turn into traffic stops.
The chief also said the department started complying with one of the components of the state's new Sandra Bland Act for motorists who are stopped by Bryan police officers.
We started it in December before the January mandatory. Yeah. We developed business cards that every traffic stop we hand out to them, and it tells them how to file complaint or compliment. And I can tell you that we are running extremely heavily on the compliment side.
Okay.
On what we receive.
The chief told the council the department places patrol according to crime patterns and not boundaries of council districts. A Bryan Fire Department truck paid in part by grant money has been going to out-of-town locations as part of efforts to reduce response time during periods of elevated risks of rural wildfires.
They do so much in mapping this kind of fire danger that they can pretty much predict when things are going to start happening.
Deputy Fire Marshal William Bouse was asked on our show how vehicles and manpower are deployed when there are multiple risk areas.
When you get over into a region like that, if you get them close and get them to a big staging area where they can set up organization operations, there's other agencies that are sending vehicles too, and they'll get them into a central location where they could ship them out to the county next door or the county down south.
Bouse says the key is getting resources close to the potential risk areas. The day after another crash involving injuries that took place on Highway 79 in front of the Franklin Safari, where there is no left turn lane, the Bryan office of the Texas Department of Transportation has received multiple emails requesting improvements. Spokesman Bob Caldwell says they're looking into what can be done.
We have put some changeable message boards up air during the spring break week to warn motorists that, you know, traffic is coming in and out of this location.
At this time, Caldwell says no improvements are planned.
Any improvement would have to be specific to the location, but our office will be reviewing this week's crash and the recent history to look for any potential improvements we can make in that area.
Caldwell says any decision to make improvements would require additional planning and funding. The day after chemical explosions in Hood County, Texas, environmental groups are getting their day in a federal court in their latest attempt to reinstate Obama-era safety regulations for chemical facilities.
It was this 2013 explosion at a fertilizer plant in West Texas that led to the new chemical storage safety regulations that were supposed to go into effect last June.
It would strengthen emergency preparedness, coordination with local first responders, more thorough prevention.
Dan Carmen of the Texas chapter of the Sierra Club. President Trump's EPA Director Scott Pruitt delayed the safety regulations till 2019.
One of the companies asking for the delay was the Arkema chemical plant that was allowed to catch fire in Houston during Hurricane Harvey.
In Austin, Chris Fox, TSN News.
The same day of walkouts at schools nationwide regarding gun control following last month's mass shooting in Florida, the U.S. House passed legislation called the Stop School Violence Act. Congressman Bill Flores of Bryan was asked on the Infomaniacs whether this is an issue that is better addressed at the local level.
Really, when you sort of come way back out of the trees and look at the forest on these issues, you find that we've got a bunch of issues in society that are contributing to these challenges.
Flores also brought up mental health challenges.
We also have issues with the way our family structures work today that are causing problems. Are they allowing these individuals to become mentally challenged and then ultimately get a gun?
Flores says the new federal legislation would give money to schools to train students, teachers, administrators, and law enforcement to recognize and respond to the early warning signs of school violence. If your favorite Bluebell ice cream flavor contains pecans, good luck finding it.
And the Brenham-based creamery tweeted, due to the shortage, increased demand, and the high cost of pecans, production of butter pecan ice cream is limited at this time. Bluebell tweeted, "We will make more as soon as we can." Some reports indicate the pecan shortage might be connected with recent hurricanes. Kelly Weiss, TSN News.
WTAW News Time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 68 degrees. You can text us anytime during the show at 979-695-1620. Powered by CitibankOnline.com. Citibank, where the Y in city stands for you. This look at news is brought to you by Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Caliber Realty. One more look at your local headlines at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
BCR Realtors has joined Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, and our new name is Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Caliber Realty. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services parallels the same characteristics we believe in at BCR: success, trust, and integrity. We're excited for the future of our company and what it will bring to this community. Learn more about us at bhhscaliber.com. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Caliber Realty. Good to know.
Let me remind you, let me invite you to be a part of the Twin City Mission Annual Charity Golf Classic. It's Monday, March 26th at the City Course at the Phillips Event Center. Four-person scramble, 9 a.m. shotgun start. To register your team, go now to twincitymission.org. If you don't play, but you still want to help the charities of Twin City Mission, you still want to be a part of the annual Twin City Mission Charity Golf Classic. Plenty of sponsorships and partnerships. Call Ron Crozier at 822-7511.
There you go, 810. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you by Malik, your AC and heating experts. Aggie owned and operated. Malik, feel the difference.
Warm air will be flowing across the region as we head through today and through the weekend, but it also looks like sunshine may be limited by cloudiness. Partly to mostly cloudy today, 80 to 85. There could be an isolated shower this morning. Tonight, we're partly to mostly cloudy, 60 to 65. Clouds tomorrow, there's the chance for showers in the afternoon, 80 to 85. Cloudy, chance of showers on Sunday. Highs will be somewhere between 80 and 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
You know, I really hate that St. Patrick's Day falls during spring break weekend.
Yeah. It usually does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, because, I mean, then you have
not always a weekend, but spring break.
You have two different reasons to celebrate.
Oh. Yeah.
Two different reasons to get
maybe
hammered.
Maybe some of the kids won't be out tomorrow.
Why?
So some of the adults can enjoy the festivities.
Yeah. What kids? The college kids?
Yonder Northgate. Yes.
Yeah. They'll all be back.
Oh,
right. Some of them might still be on spring break, but, I mean, it's the last Saturday of spring
break. Well, I remember Saturday was always travel day. That's when we came back from wherever we were visiting for spring break.
I was thinking about that.
Wow. Yeah.
My first big spring break trip was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Went to Panama City Beach, and they don't even allow spring break on PCB anymore.
So what? Oh.
Wait, what?
Yeah, a few years ago, they banned, like, drinking. Everything involved with spring break not allowed. Because criminals were coming into town during those few weeks just to, you know, and then obviously a lot of crime, a lot of problems. And they said, we just can't do it anymore. And so there is no spring break at Panama City Beach anymore.
Wow.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, there goes all your money, though, because no telling how much money all those businesses make in hotels.
I know. But they must do enough tourism just during the summer and other that they were willing to give up basically the month of March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I went to Panama City for spring break senior year, and that was
good time.
We went for a whole week. That was way too long. Way too long.
Yeah, I think we were there 5 days.
Me and some friends, we walk from the hotel and we go down, you know, the main drag or whatever to this. I guess it's square footage wise, it's the biggest club.
Viva La Viva or whatever.
Yeah. And the line was all the way out in the parking lot. And I said, forget this. I'm going back to the hotel.
Why would you stand in line to go in and drink?
And the cover charge at those places during spring break is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Probably $30 a head easily.
And somehow the fire marshal doesn't shut them down. So they've got all the porta potties and everything else outside. So you got to go to those. There was a girl who fell out of one.
Oh, yeah.
We were waiting in line. Yeah. Me and my buddy were waiting in line, and a girl falls out.
Hey.
Just, I guess, and obviously she was intoxicated.
Obviously.
And just right there in the sand.
Shocker.
Pants on her ankles, so just...
Of course, everybody's got stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, after all...
And we tell other people's, not ours.
No, yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's you remember the Kenny Chesney song, right? About how...
What is that?
Well, that's... I didn't know it had that trash at the beginning of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no shoes, no shirt, no problem?
Nah.
Oh.
Anything but mine.
Oh. Is that supposed to be about spring break?
Of course it is.
I thought it was about the summer.
No. I don't think, because he says he's headed back to Cleveland in the morning. I'll be leaving on my way back to Cleveland.
I've never associated this song with spring.
I haven't either.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you know, that could well be.
I think Chelsea's singing like LMFAO, like shots.
Yeah.
So you have some stats.
Some stats. So Walton County, the Sheriff's Department, whoever runs their Twitter is amazing.
Where's Walton County?
So Walton County is just west of Panama City.
Okay. So Destin.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think Destin's incorporated in it. The the way that the counties work out there, at least on the panhandle of Florida, they're really tall and skinny.
Okay, gotcha.
So they do include some beach. They've got Grayton Beach, Alice Beach, Miramar.
Okay.
Miramar.
Yeah, them too. Their beach. So anyways, it's just west of Panama City.
Okay.
And they had some stats from yesterday, the updated spring break numbers for underage drinking.
Nice.
Yeah.
They have a zero tolerance policy in Walton County.
Yeah.
Does the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
And SEC, as you can imagine, is leading the way, as they do in so many things.
SEC. Okay, what do you got?
Mississippi State is your number one current leader as of 18 hours ago with 12 underage drinking arrests.
Okay.
Ole Miss, their fellow Mississippi State, Magnolia State, with 8.
Yeah.
Texas A&M coming in third with 6.
Yeah, that is so awesome.
Tied with Georgia Southern and the University of Tennessee.
Wow. So in other words, parents, if you get a call from your child during spring break, it's probably not good. I mean, you know what
probably
I mean?
Not.
Yeah. Because if they initiate the call, it's during spring break. It's not a good thing.
Not going to call.
Dad.
Oh, that reminds me. Okay, so another story that I can share from Panama City. So I'm coming back. I'm coming back from that club. Because like I said, I'm like, forget this. I'm leaving, y'all. I'm going to go back to the hotel room and watch Braveheart because it was on. So I go back.
Oh, my God.
That's the way that I rolled. Okay. So I'm going back. I'm going back to the hotel. And on my way back, I stop at like a gas station to get like a Slurpee.
Okay.
So I'm getting a Slurpee. And this, because we really partied hard. This is the way I partied back in the day. Got a Slurpee and some sour straws from the local, grocery store or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back out in the parking lot, and I hear gunshots.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm thinking, and it's from the direction of that club. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, my friends just got shot.
Okay.
And so, of course, I text them. I'm like, hey, y'all okay? Yeah, we're fine. What happened? I'm like, I just heard gunshots. Oh, we didn't hear anything. But that's another example, like Chelsea was talking about.
And what time of day was this?
This was at night. I don't know, like at 8 o'clock at night.
All right. Okay.
So I'm reading an article right now, and this was posted in February. And basically, the spring break of 2014 was where they saw the most drunkenness, drug use, other things. It finally came to head when 7 spring breakers were shot at a house party.
Oh,
and so the next year they passed all these new ordinances designed to limit and even restrict spring break. It worked. Most college students have been avoiding PCB since 2015.
Yep.
However, it sounds like it's actually kind of turning back into a spring break destination. It says MTV, I guess, made a Panama City Beach spring break show.
Oh.
And anyway, I'm not sure, but it sounds like maybe some people are going back, because I'm finding websites that are still doing deals and stuff like that, even for this year. But since 2014, it's definitely been on a decline.
Interesting. Yeah. Or, you know, you could just stay at your campus and party, which is what happened in Lehigh. That's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
They've banned a sorority for conducting a scavenger hunt that included doing drugs, drinking alcohol, and having sex.
Oh.
Well, isn't that how all scavenger hunts go?
All right, Chelsea.
Okay.
Kidding.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so I don't know Lehigh University. I guess are they kind of liberal? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I just remember, I've heard of them. But
well, sounds like they're not too conservative.
I know.
No, that's right. Party school. All right, so even with the Airbnb $1 million insurance policy, people are renting and trashing their way through people's houses. But I think had a little bit about this earlier this week. Now we know more. Chelsea McGovern rented out her home in San Antonio to a young man who threw a party. Now, we had a story about a guy who rented a house and did $20,000 worth of damage. I want to hope this is the same one. Otherwise, we've had another one. She came home, found broken glass and Jell-O shots every place. House smelled like pot and pee. Her cabinets had basically been vandalized. She contacted the police and Airbnb several times during the party for help, but they said there was nothing that they could do. How could the police not do anything?
Yeah.
Estimates 300 partygoers, $18,000 worth of damage. She's now posted a video of it, and it's on KSAT television there where it shows this thing. The renter has now been banned from using the service ever again. Oh, well, all he has to do is get a friend to book it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there is supposed to, but she's upset because Airbnb hasn't paid her back. There's supposed to be $1 million policy to cover idiots.
Yeah, I'd be mad too.
Yeah, so once again, the pictures are...
have you ever had any bad experiences with your places?
I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just not really, really bad.
But yeah.
For instance, I generally shy away from softball tournament participants.
Oh, really?
Those softball dads, let me tell you.
Well, no.
Oh,
I mean,
like
the
slow pitch.
The kids.
Like the slow pitch, right.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. The adults that play in the slow pitch leagues.
Right. They're looking for a cool place to enjoy beverages before it's time to go to the next game.
Ew, and then they get all
bunch
sweaty
of hooligans.
And stinky.
Well, and so it ends up that it's a lot of people.
Right. Yeah.
I happen to have to go over to one, and there were 9 people in the house.
Oh, that's a
no-no. Not that big of a house.
Those were just the wives.
Oh wow.
Because hubbies were out playing ball.
Yeah.
That's
so
ridiculous. Yeah. So a story from one of my Airbnbs, and again, I'm probably a terrible person staying at Airbnbs. I don't know. I think you get like a rating from folks that you stay with, maybe.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
They rate you and you can rate them.
Right. And this guy gave me a great rate. He was super duper nice. But I went to Austin for the AP Awards a couple of years ago, of which we're winning several more this year.
Whoop.
And so I went and I took my dog with me. So Coop Man went with me. All and Saturday, we got there Friday night. Saturday, I went to go golf. I had booked a tee time at a place out near Lake Travis. Okay. And so I left Cooper and he's not in the kennel anymore. So I just left him, you know, alone.
Okay.
And I came back and I guess it was just because he was in a new place.
Right.
He had proceeded to just tear up that room, like under the door. He had scratched it all up.
And was it a pet friendly Airbnb?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was. I wasn't going to just bring
it. Right. Know. Okay.
So, so they allowed pets, but yeah, he had scratched
not
that door.
Not terror chewies.
And for a little dog, I can't imagine, you know, the kind of damage that he can inflict.
My gosh.
And I felt really bad too, because he was in a new place and he was obviously scared
right,
and stuff.
Right.
And I felt terrible. So that night I put him in a crate. I went and bought a crate from like Petco and put him in the crate while I went to the award ceremony. And apparently he was barking the whole time and crying. And it was a duplex. So the guy calls me. He's like, hey, man, your dog's been barking a lot. And I planned on going out with friends later that night. And I'm like, well, I guess I better head back.
Uh-huh.
And but yeah, that door, I did the best I could. I got some putty. Like I went to Lowe's. I got some putty.
Oh, my God.
I tried my best to fix
at
the bottom.
At least you tried.
And I told the guy, I was like, man, just send me the bill. He was like, no, it's okay. I was planning on changing that door anyways.
Oh,
so I
really?
Literally, I could not have had, it was not a nicer guy that I could have stayed
with. You got lucky.
I imagine Scott would not be so friendly about it.
I lost a door, and, you know, the guy's explanation was pretty funny. You know, I reached for the door and it slipped. Huh? What do you mean you reached for the door and it slipped? How does a door
break
on that? He fell
through the door.
Was it a wooden door?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How does it come off the hinges?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Anyway, he paid for it, but I mean, still. Hey, let's go back to the Oscars. Remember them?
Yeah, back when.
There was a guy who was going to win the jet ski if he had the shortest acceptance speech. We have a winner.
Oh.
His name is Mark Bridges. I don't know who he is.
Okay.
Anyhow, he got the jet ski because he had the shortest acceptance speech. I don't even know what he won for. Anyway, Hollywood Reporter says the money raised for the sale will benefit the Motion Picture Arts Fund. expected to get between $10 and $5,000. He's going to do a raffle thing.
He's a costume designer.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, is the Phantom Thread or whatever? Is that the...
I'm not sure.
Whatever I think works. That's what the movie was.
All right, there
oh,
you
yeah,
go.
Phantom Thread. You are correct.
Got it right there. Okay.
Finally.
A23.
Shut up.
The Xerox Company is the leader in business solutions for over 20 years. We're more than just copiers. Let the Dayhill team help you create document and content management in a safe and secure environment that will store and retrieve your important data quickly. Whether you're looking for copy equipment, managed print services, IT solutions, or fax and scan services, let the local Dayhill sales team help you find the perfect solution with our Dayhill 360 assessment. Local service, local sales, local knowledge is Dayhill's customer service commitment to you. Contact Dayhill locally today, 774-2200 or at dayhill.com.
Let me remind you, let me invite you to be a part of the Twin City Mission annual charity golf classic. It's Monday, March 26th at the City Course at the Phillips Event Center. Four-person scramble, 9 a.m. shotgun start. To register your team, go now to twincitymission.org. If you don't play, but you still want to help the charities of Twin City Mission, you still want to be a part of the annual Twin City Mission Charity Golf Classic, plenty of sponsorships and partnerships. Call Ron Crozier at 822-7511.
This is Today in Texas History.
On this day, March the 16th, 1939, Carol O'Brien Sobinski, television and film writer, was born in Chicago, Illinois. When she was five, the family moved to the Frying Pan Ranch in the Texas Panhandle near Amarillo. She also wrote scripts for The Mod Squad and Peyton Place. She was nominated for two Emmy Awards and won the Humanitas Prize for the television series Family. In the 1980s, Sobinski became known for her film screenplays, which included Annie, Winter People, Honeysuckle Rose, and Fried Green Tomatoes. The latter garnered an Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. I bet you didn't know that.
That was Today in Texas History.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. The Trump administration is fighting a war of numbers with Canada, further escalating economic tensions with one of the biggest U.S. trading partners. President Trump insisted yesterday the U.S. is at a trade disadvantage, while Canada denies anything of the sort. The trade balance is Trump's preferred yardstick for measuring whether the U.S. is gaining or losing from economic relationships with his partners. But the Wall Street Journal notes that differs from the views of many economists who say countries benefit from imports as well as exports, and that a country's overall trade balance is based on broad economic factors, including investment and savings rates. A Texas jury has ordered an affiliate of mortgage lender Quicken Loans to pay $706 million to a real estate technology startup that had accused it of misappropriating intellectual property. Amrock Incorporated, a provider of title insurance and real estate valuations that has the same owner as Quicken Loans, was told to pay the sum to startup House Canary. Amrock says it will appeal. On Wall Street, futures mixed. That's Your Money Now.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way. Which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable. So don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Good morning, 827, News Talk 1620, WTAW. A little cloudy outside, dark clouds. Off to the east, no rain in that direction. It's some rain out near the Rellis campus. That's the only thing we can find as far as activity right now. We'll be probably 85 or so today and tomorrow. Lows will be in the mid-60s. 80 on Sunday with a 50-50 chance of showers. And then Monday, we'll have sunshine and a high of 80. And then Tuesday, sunshine and 72. Right now, overcast skies, we've got 68.
People make your business work. But how do you find the right talent? ZipRecruiter. One click, post your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, smart matching technology instantly alerts quality candidates about your job. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Here's a story that anyone with a pacemaker needs to know. And I'll stress that it's not something to hit the panic button over, at least not yet. Kim Commander with your Friday Consumer Tech Update. The Royal Academy of Engineering is a prestigious British organization composed of UK's leading engineers from all sciences. So when they issue a study, it's worth our attention, especially this one. The Academy says that hackers now pose a serious threat to internet health devices. MRI scanners are now vulnerable. If hacked, their images could hide serious health problems. And drug pumps, if hacked, they could deliver an overdose. But most alarming is that pacemakers, which have been internet connected for some time, could be turned off by hackers. Now, we've known that these devices have been theoretically vulnerable for some time, but this warning centers on the fact that, even though we know, between the hospitals and the manufacturers, no one's really taking the threat seriously. Now, don't hit the panic button, but do be aware of the dangers. I'm Kim Commando. Time once again here on the Kim Commando Show to talk about what's on the menu at my home this coming week. Tuesday is pasta night, and with our friends at HelloFresh, it's going to be out of this world. This one is from the HelloFresh Hall of Fame, the one-pan orzo Italiano with spicy chicken sausage, tomatoes, baby spinach, mozzarella and parmesan, breadcrumbs, and just a touch of garlic, lemon, and parsley. Mmm. The orzo pasta is cooked risotto style, minimum water to make it al dente, and everything's made in a single pan. You'll get to the plate in just 30 minutes. Of course, HelloFresh always provides the healthiest, freshest ingredients in just the right quantities delivered straight to your door. Plus, there's free shipping and $30 off your first HelloFresh meal. Get started. You can do it right now. You're going to love HelloFresh. You get free shipping and, don't forget, $30 off your first HelloFresh meal. HelloFresh.com/Kim for $30 off. HelloFresh.com/Kim.
WTAW News time is 8:30. It's 68 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. The Bryan office of the Texas Department of Transportation has been asked to make safety improvements to Highway 79 in Robertson County in front of the Franklin Safari. This comes the day after four people were taken to local hospitals after a car stopped to make a left turn was rear-ended.
We have received a lot of emails today, and we are looking at the area to see what elements we can do to improve the area.
TxDOT spokesman Bob Caldwell says during spring break week, TxDOT placed message boards in both directions cautioning drivers about the entrance to the safari park. The Bryan Police Department has again met the requirements of the Texas racial profiling law, but the annual presentation to the Bryan City Council generated the most questions in recent years. Three council members who were interested in a breakdown by council district of traffic stops, searches, and arrests were told that could be done in a future presentation. Police Chief Eric Buskey addressed the issue.
I can say with full confidence that we police the same everywhere in this city. The only differences in what we do, and it's not based on council districts, because frankly I can't tell you what your boundaries are for your council districts, is we try to follow crime patterns. We will patrol areas that have a higher incidence of crime heavier because we're trying to discourage that crime. In fact, we meet every single week to discuss what's going on with crime in this city.
Consultant Alex Del Carmen says the more detailed breakdown will be required going forward as part of the state's new Sandra Bland Act. Last year, the Bryan Police Department received no racial profiling complaints. Elevated dangers of wildfires means deploying equipment. That includes the Bryan Fire Department, as explained by Deputy Fire Marshal William Bouse on the Infomaniacs.
Our TIFMAS truck, which is that first wildland firefighting truck that we received through grants with the interagency and the Forest Service, and it'll be deployed out this morning over to the Chrisman area because they're in fire danger over there.
Bouse says computer mapping can show the highest risks for wildfires on a given day. The U.S. House has sent on to the Senate more legislation designed to reduce school violence. Congressman Bill Flores of Bryan was among those voting for what is called the Stop School Violence Act.
What this bill is intended to do is to equip our teachers, our administrators, our local law enforcement personnel with the training and the skills to be able to identify young people who may have a tendency to move toward violent behavior. That way we can start to identify these individuals earlier, make sure that, first of all, they get the treatment they need to deal with the mental challenges that they may have, and then secondly, to make sure that we can find a way to prevent them from getting firearms.
Flores also says the Senate is taking action on legislation passed by the House last December.
This is a bill that fixes some of the holes in the national criminal background check system that allowed the Sutherland Springs shooter to get a gun.
Flores, speaking on our show, says there are problems with the way today's families are structured that are allowing individuals to become mentally challenged and getting guns. WTAW News Time is 8:34 at 68 degrees. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. Powered by CitibankOnline.com. Citibank, where the Y in city stands for you. This Look in News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news anytime on our website at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Black politicians, some roofing companies tell you things that just aren't so. Like, we've been in business since 1995. Our advice is simple. Trust but verify. Don't take everything that's said as fact. At Schulte Roofing, there is nothing we'll tell you that we're not 100% prepared to prove and back up. For peace of mind, go with the name the Brazos Valley has known for decades. Schulte Roofing, home of the Bulletproof Roof Guarantee.
Schulte Roofing, the home of the Bulletproof Roof.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:35. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you by Ground Shuttle. They offer frequent and reliable luxury shuttles between BCS and BCS and both Houston airports, and also Austin, too. Reserve your Austin or Houston commute now at groundshuttle.com. Let them do the driving. Here are the numbers.
More clouds than sunshine today. Temperatures are going to be warm. They'll be up to about 80 to 85. There's the chance for an isolated shower this morning, though right now most of the precipitation is well off to our east. We're partly to mostly cloudy tonight. We're 60 to 65. Clouds tomorrow, we may see a shower during the afternoon. Warm, 80 to 85. Scattered showers possible tomorrow night, 60 to 65. Showers possible Sunday, 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
Friday, time to visit with folks from City College Station. Jay Sokol's here today. How are you today?
Great, thank you.
Okay, Chelsea, you working on that?
I got it.
Already?
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait till after the interview.
Of course.
Yeah, that way.
Fun fact Friday.
Okay, that's what we do. You brought a guest with you this morning.
I did. First time on your show since being elected in November of 17. Place 5 City Councilman John Nichols.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Not your first time to be elected, nor your first time to be elected in November, right? Or maybe it is. Were they back before?
No, I lost an election in the very first November election.
Okay.
I lost. I've been elected 2 or 3 times.
All right.
Then.
Yeah. The important thing is you're back. Okay. So welcome back. Things hadn't really changed that much, I guess, from the last time you were elected. What I would really like to talk to you about first is you do have, on so many different issues, a rare view because it's a longer view than other members of council. I'm going to guess that Frank Simpson was a city manager that you hired. Is that correct? Were you on that council?
Yes, I was.
And then also Kelly Templin.
Yes.
So now we're in the process of having that office open, and you're going to have an interim in there. That's a different way than you've handled it before. Your thoughts about that?
Well, actually, I think Frank was interim for a short period of time before we promoted him to city manager. I think the process is going to go quite smoothly. Obviously, we have a talented individual with lots of experience and knows almost everything there is to know about the different departments in the city. So I think the transition is going to go very well, and I think the staff and I know the council will very much support him in that role.
Have you had any feedback from people saying, hey, you're not doing a search committee, which is the kind of thing that sometimes happens?
No, I haven't. Personally, I think it's an appropriate question to raise. I don't know that we have finally decided how we're going to handle that. I think we're the plan is, as I think the mayor has said, to work through the budget, which is the big springtime activity into the summer. Mr. Gilman's very well positioned to handle that, and as we get into early summer, I think the council will sit down and decide how they want to proceed. Nothing's ruled out at this point. That we could go direct employment of a really good internal candidate, or we may decide to open it up and have a search, and at that point we'll decide how we're going to handle it.
Sure. John Nichols joining us this morning. My ignorance, I don't know what boards or other ways that you represent the city beyond council. Could you tell me about those?
Well, I'm rather limited at this point since I'm a freshman on council.
Okay. A backbencher?
I am on the county public health board. I was on that before. I really enjoy working with the folks down there. They do a great job. I have an appointment on the... I work with the Chamber of Commerce, actually, on the Transportation Committee, so I work with the transportation side of our city work, although I'm not on that committee. I'm on the Twin Oaks Landfill Board, which is I was on as a public member when I was not on council. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on as a council member. And the Spring Creek Land Development Corporation, the wholly owned, city-owned corporation, local government corporation that's looking at the strategy for developing the new business park.
Sure. You just finished having a focus group retreat a few weeks ago. Your observations
regarding the development of the park?
Actually, the whole city, right? Didn't you have a retreat?
Over a month ago.
Oh, now. Was it? Okay.
No, that was a really good discussion. It gave me a chance to catch up on an awful lot of things that I hadn't been involved in for the previous year. We moved the agenda forward on City Hall. We resolved the sanitation discussion about outsourcing. Made some good progress in those areas, as well as going down through all of the issues the strategic plan covers. I was particularly impressed with our facilitator. I like having an outside facilitator at events like that, or activities like that, because it allows the city staff to be thinking about these various issues rather than thinking about how to drive that process that minute by minute, second by second. And I thought that was really helpful because it gave staff a chance to reflect on what they were hearing from council and be in a better position to lead the charge, so to speak, based on what we decided there.
Again, your view is unique in your time on council and what you did even before you went on council. Characterize this group that you have, this College Station City Council. Now, how is it different?
Well, first of all, that's what I've been doing the last 3 months, is there's four different people there, four people who are new to the council, not new this year, but new since I left. And the previous council had been pretty stable for several years with Mayor Barry, and we understood each other, and we understood how we approach issues. So I've been learning. I know all four of those folks and knew them before, but I didn't know how they work and how they think about issues and topics and how they debate and discuss them. So my process has been listening and trying to learn a little bit more about what they think is important and find ways that I can work with them and how I can discuss the issues with them productively if I disagree. So I've had really good interaction with all of them. I think it's a different group that's coming together.
If I remember correctly, you were the first member of the College Station City Council who ever said on our show, ahead of a tax increase, hey, we're going to have a tax increase, and which took a lot of courage, but you did. Now we've done that a few times, and the city continues mm-hmm. to grow based on what you've seen before as you're going through the budget process. What's your feeling as far as next time around?
Well, I'm not on the Budget and Finance Committee this year, and so I don't know the inner workings of all of that. I'd like to see us not have to raise taxes in the near future, but we do have the City Hall discussion coming up, and I'm really excited about the fact that we made a decision at the retreat to put that back on the front burner. Now that the police department building is pretty well settled, that we're going to do it, we know how we're going to do it and who's going to do it and all of that, we can move on now to the planning of the City Hall. I would say I wouldn't rule out a possible modest tax increase associated with building that, but there's a lot of financing options for that that were discussed at the retreat, which gives us some flexibility in how we approach it.
First opportunity to ask you about what I've generally been asking council members in both cities, public-private partnerships. You've got a City Hall that you're going to build. What are your thoughts as where 3Ps fits into the College Station plan?
Well, I think they fit into the College Station plan in some ways. I don't know that we've got a particular project right now that we're going to go that way. We've looked at that. We looked at that for City Hall. That's not the direction we're going to go in City Hall, as near as I can understand it, unless the financing picture changes radically when you get down to the bottom line. If you own the land and you want to keep owning the land, it's almost a wash to go public-private partnership on your own land for something you want to use and lease back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it. We consider it case by case. I'm not really concerned, but I was concerned about outsourcing sanitation, because I didn't think we had enough facts to really make a strategic decision like that. And once staff was given the time to go back and pull together the data that we could look at the retreat, I think the data was pretty clear that the private sector could not compete effectively to lower the rates. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a really great service now. Why jeopardize it?
Sure. What else is on your radar screen?
Well, I got one of the reasons I ran to get back in council is I'm really looking forward to the major update in the comprehensive plan. I think it for several reasons, but probably the two most important ones is it's out of date.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell by looking at the P&Z agenda, the number of land use changes that come along, number of zoning changes that come along, and they all come up to council, leads to longer meetings, and you realize that we're not in touch with the market. We don't have an up-to-date plan. We need to revisit that entirely. Secondly, I think this is a good window for us to reconnect in a fairly aggressive way with the community, with the citizens, because public engagement is a big part of that comprehensive plan. That's where you go back and say, is this vision statement really what the citizens are all about here? Is this really what citizens value? And then how do we implement that vision? What sort of missions does the city take on with regard to regulation of zoning, infrastructure development, what's it going to look like? All of those kinds of things, I think, can be discussed productively in a public way, and that would, I hope, get not just neighborhood specific issues where we get those hot debates regularly,
mm-hmm.
but you get the whole community to talk about these things, and everybody has to... At least they buy into the idea they've had their say. And this is now how we're looking at the city in the future. So I think this comprehensive plan update is a really important thing from a public engagement point of view, and I am sure the staff is looking at it that way as well.
Let me talk to you just for a second then, finally, about public engagement. It is important.
Mm-hmm.
You have some marathon council meetings. People lose interest if their item isn't early in the agenda. I've seen mm-hmm. you move agenda mm-hmm. items before for that mm-hmm. very reason. Is there some harmony that you, or some happy medium that you can reach that these things aren't marathons because nobody wants to sit through a three-hour council meeting, and yet you can get the business of the city done?
Well, when you have an active, engaged council with differing opinions on things, I think it's important to have those aired, and the citizens ought to be happy that those are aired publicly and debated in a productive and thoughtful way. The council last year, when I was off council, decided to move the meetings up to 6 o'clock, the regular meetings, to try to engage people earlier in the evening so they could get home at a reasonable hour to get the kids to bed and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always going to be a problem. I hope if we have a up-to-date comprehensive plan, a lot of those marathon issues are over land use changes and zoning changes. And those are important to the people that live right in that neighborhood, this site-specific. If we can get that whole plan up to date and people understand where we're going, you're still going to have the neighborhood issues. But I'm hoping that we wouldn't have to debate it so long, particularly the council members. Education and engagement of the council members themselves to buy into that statements in the comprehensive plan, whatever it looks like a year and a half from now, means that the council themselves have to say, okay, I'm not going to debate this for 30 minutes. I know what I want to do. I know what the plan says. I give you a one-minute statement, and we're done.
Move forward. Understand. Okay. Thanks for the time this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here.
John Nichols there. I wouldn't suggest this to the council member, but I'll say to you, I mean, maybe a revenue stream. If we put concessions in, what do you think?
For our council meetings?
Yeah. Sell popcorn? What do you think?
Soft pretzels?
Yeah.
All right. I'm taking it back.
Corn dogs? I mean,
ooh, it is corn dog day.
Council corn dogs.
Ooh,
that's great.
College Station Council corn dogs.
Yes. You can sit home and eat popcorn.
You know, that's also true.
Jay and his staff do a great job of getting us on TV and making sure you don't even have to come unless you want to speak.
Yeah, you can yell at the TV and throw a rubber brick. It's great. In the safety of your own home. All right, so just doing what I can for you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
Hey, you want to guess the latest population estimate?
Bigger than it was last time.
Slightly, yes. Okay. Very safe of you. 117,841.
Wow.
So if you had 117,841, you win.
Oh, that I was right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott turned off my microphone while I was trying to yell it.
I had 117,841 and a half, so.
You went close. Over, so.
Busted bracket.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the only other thing, registration will open on Monday for adult volleyball, adult softball, youth basketball, challenger bowling, youth tennis, and adult tennis. So if you'd like to check into those, it's all at cstx.gov/sports.
Pickleball?
No, we don't have pickleball.
You know, I learned to play tennis in this when I was a kid, and then I realized I was never going to grow above being able to see over the net if I stood at the baseline.
Where'd he come from?
That's why you got to play double, Scott, so you can get on your teammate's shoulders.
Yeah. Dwarf tennis.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, but anyway, here's your fun fact for today.
Here is your fun fact. Dwight D. Eisenhower was the first president of all 50 states.
Oh, that's nice.
Right? Right? Yep. He was also, here's a bonus fun fact, Eisenhower was also the first president to hold a pilot's license.
Well, how about that?
There you are.
How about that? Hawaii entered the Union August 21st, 1959. That was during his second term.
Yeah. And I might be going on a limb here. I think he was the first president. I think he was the first president that was born in Texas.
That's true.
That's not on my list of Eisenhower facts.
I guess maybe if you paid attention in history class, you would have known.
Right, yeah, probably.
I think we better cut this short.
I'll email that to you, Jay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yep.
All right, we visit with the folks from City College Station on Fridays.
The community interview, heard every weekday morning on News Talk 1620 WTAW, includes a political paid-for message by Margaret Meese.
Thanks, Brazos County, for your overwhelming support in the primary election for Brazos County District Clerk. I ask of you again to please vote for me, Margaret Meese, for Brazos County District Clerk in the May runoff election.
Brian Broadcasting and the George Bush Presidential Center invite you to hop along to the Bush Presidential Center on Saturday, March 24th for our annual College Station Easter celebration. The event will begin at 9:30 a.m. and include an Easter egg hunt, egg rolls, egg toss, carnival games, bounce houses, face painting, a kite flying contest, door prizes, balloon animals, complimentary refreshments, and photos with the Easter Bunny. The free event will be available for children 7 and under. For more information and to register for prizes, visit bush41.org or call 979-691-4014.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. Let's find out what's going on in the arts. And Amy's here this morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. This is our latest installment of one of the neat plans that you have, and that is an artist in residence program.
Right. These are our Navasota artists in residence that are hosted up in the Horlock House in Navasota, and we got the newest round in about a month ago, so they're here to be introduced.
There you go. So I'm going to ask you to say your name because I would mispronounce it, I'm sure.
Sure.
Okay. So tell me about you. What is your name?
Yes, my name is Apinya Sikontong. Okay. I originally from Thailand.
Okay.
But I moved to San Francisco to study, and I graduated from San Francisco.
Now, how long ago was that?
5 years already.
Okay. So now, how did you find out about this program?
Well, I found out from the website, the call for entry cafe. Yes.
And so then, what is that process? Are you interviewed, and how are you selected?
Well, because actually I'm looking for an artist in residency program after I graduate, and I think this is the good fit for me because the program long for 6 months, so I'm interested in it.
So tell me about the medium. What do you work in?
I'm working on paper sculptures and also the book art. Basically, paper is my medium, so I can transfer my drawing and my drawing skill, and then I kind of like, I draw with a knife then, and then cut paper, and then transform paper to do kind of like three-dimensional things.
So it's a paper sculpture. Generally, how big are they?
Well, I work from like 6 by 6 inches until like 24 inches.
Okay. Are they joined together? Do you use like some sort
yes,
of glue or
I
adhesive?
Yes, I use glue. Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, do you use colors or just... So I get a chance to look at some of that. Oh, this is pretty unique because I'm just thinking a bunch of angles of paper laid together, but that's not that's not it at all. Have you done commission work in this?
Yes.
Have you?
And yes, so, I did.
Now, generally, when somebody comes to you and says, I want you to do this, what kind of guidelines do you set up for them so that you can give them the kind of work that they want?
Well, actually, I don't have limitations about my work, so it depends on, like, how do they like. And then they can say, like, somebody like the subject, like, butterflies or birds, and then they do, like, oh, I want something like this, can you do? And then
okay.
I do that.
Now, how long have you been in Navasota?
2 weeks.
So it's quite a change.
Yes.
Now, the idea is when this is over, you'll be able to have a show also of things that you've created while you've been here?
Yes.
Will that happen here in Bryan College Station, or where will that happen? Do we know what that
is? In Navasota, at the Hollock House.
Okay, very good. Any thoughts about, is this your first trip to Texas?
Yes, my first trip, my first time.
Okay, so any thoughts right now, just 2 weeks into it?
Well, so far so good. I like staying here. It's very peaceful and quiet, good environment so far.
Excellent. Well, very good. Well, welcome to Texas. We're glad you could be here this morning.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's also talk to Zachary. Zachary, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Tell me your last name.
Thomas.
Okay. And Zachary, where did you come from?
I came from just about an hour north of Denver in Colorado.
Okay. Likewise, same way, you found out about this online?
I did, yeah, same way.
Okay. And so tell us about your medium.
Well, I work primarily in drawing and painting, but I also enjoy doing collage along with that.
When did you start doing this?
Well, I started drawing when I was probably about 8-10 years old, and ever since then have done it. And I started drawing comics primarily when I was younger, and then got more into, I suppose, what people would refer to as the fine arts as I got older.
Tell me about your educational background.
Sure. I went to Colorado State University, where I did a painting concentration ultimately, and since then have just been working independently.
So tell me a little bit about why you chose that medium and describe your work for us.
Sure. I suppose the work is kind of a combination of just different genres that I enjoy. Could be described, I suppose, as expressionist painting, but also some abstraction along with representational work. I enjoy working with pretty simple materials like pen and ink, acrylic paint, watercolor, some oils. And as far as the pictorial sort of landscape of what I do, it's kind of a little bit all over the place, I guess maybe what you would call stream of consciousness in a way.
And likewise, you've been here for about 2 weeks?
Correct.
Okay. How many pieces do you generally have it going at one time?
It depends. Sometimes, you know, maybe two or three going at once.
And where do you get your ideas, do you think? Besides the stream of consciousness, I got that.
Yeah. When I work in some representational kind of imagery, it's usually coming from my own experiences for the most part. And also, I try and draw a lot from art history as well.
First trip to Texas?
Yes and no. I've been to Texas once technically, but really just driving through. So this is my first time spending any significant time here.
And how long will you be in Navasota?
Until early August. Okay. So I'll have a good amount of time here.
Very good. All right. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
And we should mention that Apinya and Zachary also have websites, and they're linked at acbv.org. So, Amy, anything else that's going on at the Arts Council?
Well, we do have a new exhibit opening March 8th. Her exhibit will be open, and it will run through April 11th. Lisa Beeman from Austin has a show for us of paper collage as well. So, kind of similar sort of, to some of the things that Pina is doing as well. But that is at the Texas Gallery, which is at the Art Center, 2275 Dartmouth Street.
All right. If they want some more information,
acbv.org.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
About a minute till News Talk 1620 WTAW. Ben's not here, so save that back for Monday.
Okay, I'll save it.
Yeah, because it's still good.
It is, yeah.
So apparently 8% of people are planning to get drunk on St. Patrick's
Day. Ooh, because some people don't plan on it. It just happens. Well, I don't know what happened.
I'm sorry, though, that we actually have to use the phrase planning to get drunk. What does that say about their lives?
You're supposed to plan ahead.
That's right.
Get a sober ride.
5% will listen to Irish music. 6% will go to their St. Patrick's Day parade.
Okay.
8% will drink green beer. 9% will pinch people who don't wear green.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah, and 83% will wear green. So you got, got that going on. All right, mark your calendar, Chelsea.
Got it, ready?
Next weekend is a full moon.
Ooh.
It's a blue moon, and it's the last one until 2020.
Wow.
So don't miss it and say that you weren't told, okay?
Okay.
All right. And is this not perfect? I just picked this up and saw it. Sonic is selling 50-cent corn dogs tomorrow.
Yeah.
They usually celebrate Corn Dog Day.
Well, March 17th is National Corn Dog Day, so it has
so you can go
to
get drunk
that.
For St. Patrick's Day, and
so
then you can go get 50-cent corn dogs.
Oh, so good. They're so delicious.
So good. Give me eight.
I need eight corn dogs.
Two more.
We're back on Monday. WTAW, College Station, Bryan.
Five bodies are still in the rubble. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and there may be more. The day after that bridge collapse at Florida International University, a sixth person died at a hospital. Fox's Eben Brown is live in Miami.
Yeah, Dave, police will be updating reporters at the scene very shortly. The number of victims may increase, says Miami-Dade Police Detective Alvaro Zabaleta.
They're saying at least, because there is the possibility, the sad possibility, that under the concrete there may be additional vehicles.
And the nearly 1,000-ton concrete superstructure is still lying across Southwest 8th Street in front of Florida International University. Engineers are trying to mitigate risk to first responders.